Hello everyone, welcome. Welcome. All right, let me get everything set up. I can see you all logging on. Get my little chat box. All right, as you are joining me, say hello. I can see your names popping up, but I would love to hear from you. Say hello to me. Oh, I can see Kylie there. Let me just... thanks, Kylie. Couldn't figure out how to stop your video, but thanks for saying hi to me. I've got this warm filter on my light today. It looks very warm and glowy, but I'll brighten this up before I put the recording up. Okay, say hi to me in the comments. Where are you dialing in from? I should know where you're all from by now after now this is our third call. Say hello to me. How are you feeling? Give me a word to describe how you're feeling today. We are in the final week of our journey together. Give me a word that describes how you're feeling. I would love to know. I'm actually feeling really fucking good today. I just have to drop an F-bomb because I was going to say, I felt to say this before I get into all of the questions that, you know, we've just come out of Scorpio season, and Scorpio season for a lot of people was really heavy and intense and dark. And I didn't find it too full on. I found it a little bit intense. My boyfriend's a Scorpio, so I was dealing with a lot of Scorpio energy, but I didn't find it too full on until last week. So last week, Monday to Sunday, up until yesterday, I just felt so heavy and really dark and really flat, if I was to be completely honest, and really like I couldn't find my higher self. I couldn't find my light. And I was talking to my boyfriend last night and I was crying to him actually. And I was like, I just feel so flat and so sad and I don't know why. And I feel heavy and I feel defeated. You know, and I was just sharing with him, how I was feeling. And, you know, he supported me with some stuff last night. And then I've just woken up today feeling just full back in alignment again, really good again. And I'm like, thank God. And you know, what I just want to say is even though we are doing all this beautiful work to align with our highest self, it doesn't mean that we have to be perfect all the time and always high vibing. And, you know, we never want to be hard on ourselves if we're going through these periods of stuff's coming up for us. We're processing emotion. We feel out of alignment. The way that we support ourselves through the perspective of our highest self is with a lot of love, a lot of compassion, a lot of gentleness, a lot of tenderness, a lot of understanding. And I just really want to make sure that even though we are doing this higher self work, that no one ever, you know, tries to avoid or discount any other real emotion that's going on. It's not about trying to escape that. And it's not about judging ourselves when we are out of alignment, but more bringing in that part of our higher self that is unconditional love, that is nurturing, that is gentle, that says, oh, darling, what are you feeling? Tell me what you're feeling. Let me hold you. Let me help you through that. The way, you know, my boyfriend did last night, I was able to really let him support me. And that's what your higher self can be for you. That beautiful, loving energy that you can turn to for support. So if any of you have been through the past month feeling some of this heavier, at times very flat, at times for some people quite depressing energy, always remember it's temporary. Just keep drawing on all of the things that help shift your emotional state, you know, your beautiful high vibe practices. And I've been beginning to draw on them again, and that's really helping me shift my energy. So just wanted you all to be reassured in that, no matter where you're at. Okay, beautiful. Hi, Emma. Hi, Kylie from the South Coast. Adrian, hello. I'm glad you're feeling happy. Keely in New Zealand, feeling powerful. Awesome. Kylie's feeling content. Nice word. Lena from Copenhagen, Denmark, feeling hopeful. Good. Emma's feeling a little bit scattered this morning. No worries. Wherever you're at is beautiful. And again, remember, this is all about unconditional love is unconditional acceptance. None of us thrive through judgment. Anytime we judge ourselves or judge our experience, we are disconnecting from our higher self. Our higher self unconditionally loves and embraces and allows whatever your human experience is in this moment, you know? So whenever we bring that energy to ourselves, that is us being in alignment with our higher self. So beautiful. Okay, I have a Google Doc up on my computer with all of your questions. I've got a lot of questions and they're fantastic questions. And I really want to honor all of you who sent through a question. I know it's probably quite a vulnerable feeling to submit a question and have me read it out. As I said, it's all anonymous, so I won't share names on any of it. But if you are here live on the call and you want to chat to me at any point when I'm talking on your question and ask anything further or give additional information, you can do that. But otherwise, it will be kept all anonymous. And I'm pretty much just going to go through, give a succinct overview of the question, read out the answer, and I think you will all be able to relate to everything that's been asked. So thank you to those of you who are here live. Hopefully, I can get through this in an hour. It may be about 90 minutes. But similar to the other sessions, it will be uploaded so you can work through the replay if you can't stay here for the full session with me today. So let's dive on in. All right. Beautiful, beautiful questions. So let's just get started. All right, first question. And I'm sure a lot of you can actually relate to this. This woman has been connecting in with her higher self, but what she's finding is she's feeling fear as she connects with this energy. And it's making her actually want to back away. So she's like, everyone's going on about how fantastic it feels. And I'm sure sometimes it does feel fantastic for some of you and other times it doesn't. So it's okay if it doesn't always have a really positive energy. But she said, mostly it doesn't feel fantastic for me. She said, it's not that I'm doing something wrong, but it's more that I'm in a space of fear around the changes that my higher self is showing me I need to create. And although I'm bursting for change, I feel really afraid of that change. So she's noticing she's kind of wanting to back away from that part of herself that's guiding her into change. And she said, is this because I'm trying to control the outcome? How should I address this? And I think this is a really beautiful point because in general, we don't always feel just fully light and embracing and excited about our higher self. Sometimes it's a very overwhelming, scary, triggering, confronting energy. Sometimes actually really hearing what our higher self is trying to show us is, it's a lot to process. So a lot of us do disconnect for that reason. And it reminded me of that beautiful Marianne Williamson quote where she said, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. It's our light that most frightens us. It's our power that most frightens us. Yeah. It's really discovering what we're capable of and being like, whoa, what would life look like if I fully followed this guidance and stepped into that? So it's really understandable. Nothing has gone wrong that there's fear getting activated here. What's happening is it's almost like the light of your higher self is illuminating the darkness within you. And when I say darkness, it's shining a light on the fear, the limiting beliefs, maybe the unworthiness, maybe the self-doubt that is currently blocking you fully stepping into what's next for you. And so our higher self almost illuminates all of that within us. It's like she shines a light within us and we suddenly see everything that's blocking us from her energy. Or his. I know I've got Adrian here. I just use her, obviously, because I'm a female, but, you know, sub in whatever whatever works for you. But that's what's happening. So I think when we feel afraid or overwhelmed about what she's showing us or our higher self is showing us, what I like to do is almost play a bit of a game with that part of myself that's afraid. And reassure that part of myself and say, do you know what? Right now, we don't need to take any action on any of this. In fact, these changes, maybe we're not even going to act on them at all. Maybe it's not about needing to step into them. And so right now, and I just reassure myself, I'm like, right now, don't worry about the changes that you're being shown to make or the actions. The first step is just to feel safe enough to open up to receive that energy of your higher self. And the part of yourself at the moment that's freaking out, that's saying, oh, I don't even want to tune into that because then I'm going to have to act on these changes. Sort of, yeah, reassure that part of yourself and say, do you know what? We may never even act on this stuff. It's not about that right now. It's about me having the courage to just feel this energy. That's it. So I want you to reassure that part of yourself that's afraid and think about what does that part of you need? Does it just need to know that it's safe? Does it need to know that there's no pressure right now to act on any of these steps, that you don't need to worry about any of that just yet? So reassure you of that part of yourself. And I would just simply focus on the energy work at this stage, not any of the even what life's going to look like if you act on this guidance. But I think I've said this before, but our body tends to reject and feel unsafe in things that aren't familiar. And what I would work on just quite simply is just making her energy just feel more familiar to you. So again, just working in the space of a meditation, and maybe just each day you just let yourself open up to feel a little bit more of her energy. And when you identify the fear in your body, you might notice, I feel it in my belly, I feel it in my heart, wherever. Put your hand on that and just acknowledge that and be like, okay, there's fear coming up for me. I can feel that part of me is really afraid about what I'm sensing here, and that's okay. I don't have to do anything about it right now. Maybe this isn't going to be as scary as I think. Maybe these changes aren't going to be as big as they look right now. I don't have to do anything right now. All I have to do is just allow myself to feel this energy. And I feel like the more that you work with it just as an energy practice with your higher self, the more comfortable and familiar you'll feel in that energy. And then when the time is right, you'll feel ready to act on it. So there's sort of a gentleness that's needed sometimes when we have a lot of fear come up. And I'm not in any way saying, to avoid or procrastinate on the steps that you're being guided to take. But if at the moment the fear is so overwhelming that it's actually causing you to shut down to that energy, then we just need to put that to the side for the minute and work just on you feeling safe and comfortable in the energy of your higher self. What else do I have here in my notes? To me, it just feels like building a relationship with that part of yourself as well. I often talk about this with intuition, like just spending time building that relationship so you feel very safe in that energy. Once you feel very safe connecting with and aligning with that energy, you'll feel much safer to act on what it's guiding you towards. But the first step might be you building a relationship with this part of yourself. And also you can even ask this energy to support you with your fear. If you can connect with her enough and sort of say, what guidance would you have for me on this fear? Are these fears, It's, you know, I think I said this in today's journaling prompt, actually, is fear is one perspective and love is another perspective. And actually reminds me of this Marianne Williamson quote, another one that I saw, which is, love is what we are born with. Fear is what we learned here. And when we come back to love, we come back to our pure essence, our truth, and that is our highest self. And even if can you bring in a loving perspective, a loving voice, some loving encouragement, some loving reassurance to your fear, a more loving way of viewing the situation. And that might be something like, you know, this belief system of I'm never guided to do anything that I'm not ready for. The fact that I'm being shown these changes to make means one, I'm ready for them, and two, I'm capable of them. And this wouldn't be being shown to me unless I was ready and capable of it. And that's a more loving, empowering way of looking at fear rather than when this fear comes up, feeling like it is really real and fear's perspective is the truth. We instead say, no, that's a part of me that's afraid, which is understandable, but I need to bring in the perspective of my higher self that knows that I am capable and strong and brave and courageous, and I wouldn't be being shown anything that I didn't have the ability to handle. And then begin affirming to yourself, actually, I'm ready to move beyond this fear. I'm ready to move through my fear of change. I can do this. I'm ready to break through my fear of this change. I can do this. You can actually change your self-talk around this. I see my fear, but I'm taking my power out of this fear. I'm no longer choosing to live my life guided by fear. I'm now choosing to believe in myself and to believe in my ability to have what I want in my life and believe in my strength and my resilience to be able to handle anything that comes my way. Now that's the perspective of your higher self speaking to you versus fear that says, I can't do this. I'm not capable. I'm not good enough. I won't be able to do it. It's too hard. It's too scary. It's too risky. Oh, yeah. Kylie said really beautiful here. Sometimes I rename my fear as excitement because they feel similar in my body. It's like what we talked about in one of the previous calls, that feeling of nervousitement, which is like nervousness and excitement at the same time. Which, yeah, maybe, and that's a beautiful reframe. Thank you. Maybe what you're feeling is a part of yourself that's actually really, really excited about what's possible for you through making this change. And maybe it's about following that wave of excitement rather than, yeah, labeling it as fear or that something bad's going to happen. Thank you, Kylie. That's a beautiful perspective. All right. Really beautiful question here, which kind of ties into what I was saying right at the start. How do I navigate maintaining my high vibing, higher self alongside, and this is sort of one more so for the women. How do I manage being in my high vibe self alongside my natural hormone cycle, which means I tend to fall into negative and critical self-talk? So for us as women, we have, if you don't follow the work of Claire Baker yet, I highly suggest it. Claire Baker is incredible. She's a friend of mine and she teaches this work about adoring your cycle. So working with the cycle of your menstrual cycle, and that we have four different seasons. We have summer, autumn, winter, spring. And spring and summer are our more energizing, high vibe, yang, active times. And winter and autumn are our more yin, internal. Sometimes we're feeling those heavier emotions. That's your premenstrual and menstrual phase. So what this woman's identifying is in those more high vibe parts of her cycle, she finds it really easy to be aligned with her higher self. Whereas when she's feeling, say, premenstrual on the menstrual part of her cycle, there's more negative critical self-talk, which most women I'll relate to that. It's much harder to control your thinking. But this kind of ties into what I was saying right at the start, is that the expression of your higher self can shift and change. And particularly as a woman in our cycle, it can shift and change. And so the higher self isn't always just about being high vibe. Like I said, sometimes it's just bringing in pure, beautiful, unconditional love of yourself. And I think one of the biggest things I've learned from Claire is the more that we understand our cycle and actually work with our cycle and embrace the various seasons and know that in each season we need different things, the less our cycle becomes something really hard to navigate, and the more it becomes just part of being a woman and part of honoring our various waves of energy. Because we have a different hormonal makeup every single week. We can be a different person every week based on where we're at in our cycle. And bringing beautiful unconditional love and acceptance to that is a really powerful thing to do. So what I would say here is actually maybe redefine what being your highest self looks like in the autumn and winter phase of your cycle. So in the spring, summer phase, like this is me when I'm birthing creative projects, I'm out having social interactions, I'm running on the beach at sunrise, I'm like doing a million things and I'm amazing. And then I come into my autumn period and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. I wish I didn't have anything in my calendar and I just want to stay inside and watch movies and eat chocolate, and that's okay. So I would ask you, what does living as your highest self look like during these times that you're more sensitive and you need a different form of support? And maybe that means bringing in a really gentle, compassionate, tender, sweet voice of, okay, honey, you're feeling sensitive. Okay, your energy's dropped. Okay, you're feeling more introverted. What do you need? What can I do for you? We need to probably, and Claire talks a lot about this, we amp up our self-care, we change our self-care, we move our body in a slower, softer, more yin way rather than the pushy kind of yang way. So I think the more that you can accept these waves in your energy and embrace them and allow them, and then actually from a really loving place, tailor your self-care, tailor how you look after yourself, and redefine what being your highest self in those times looks like, you'll feel a lot better. Just like for me last week, I sort of needed to change what being my highest self meant last week for me. The week before it meant being really energetic and high vibe. Last week it meant just being very compassionate, letting myself sleep for as much as I needed, going to bed really early, making very comforting food, saying a lot of no, letting people know how I was feeling. And I would tell people I'm just really, really fatigued right now and I can't show up for anything. And that was the most beautiful form of self-love I could give myself. And that was me being my highest self for myself in that moment, even though I look different to how it looks at other times. So that's how I would approach that. And I think from what I've learned with Claire, the more that we honor the various phases of our cycle, then the less we get things like PMS, the less we deal with cramps, the less we have to deal with that negative self-talk, because we're understanding how to really support ourselves through the various phases of our cycle. And then our body just naturally functions with much more harmony because we're in harmony with our body. Hope that helps. But yeah, Cleb, I mean, it's so important to me that if I come across a teacher who's teaching something, I always like to really credit that teacher. So I will never take this work as my own work. It's her work, and I would really go follow her if you want to learn more about that. I think she's actually got some workshops happening at the moment. Yeah, she's awesome. Okay. This is a really interesting question, this one. She said, this is in relation to the day 11 prompt. You write that it can be hard to tell the difference between if your inner voice comes from your mind or intuition. Yes. And it made me realize I'm confused about the difference. When I think of intuition, I believe that this is influenced by our past experiences and also those we may not recall from memory. So they're things stored in our body and our subconscious. But is intuition actually more pure than this? And if so, where does it come from? Such a cool question. An inner voice from the mind seems to be influenced by desires and needs, and intuition by past experiences. Or would you define that differently? And when to listen to which one? Really, really cool. I actually, again, sometimes I talk things out with my partner just to get his perspective. And we were out at lunch yesterday and I said to him, how would you define intuition? Are you intuitive? Like, I'm just curious about it. And he found it a really hard thing to answer. And he said to me, well, how would you define it? What's an example of it? And I said, well, the way I think about it is, for me, it's when I know I'm coming from my mind, it's usually something kind of logical and it's what makes sense. And for me, actually, I would say the subconscious is still my mind. So I see, say, everything in my subconscious and everything in my mental programming as being learnt behavior that I picked up through my life. So just like Marianne Williamson says, love is what we are born with, fear is what we learn here. So you think about everything you've learned about yourself throughout your human experience that's been formed as belief systems and expectations and ideas of who you should be and your identity. That is all learnt. And to me, that forms up your subconscious and conscious mind. It's all programmed in there and it really drives and determines your behavior. And when the example I gave to him, I was like, I remember when I was going through a career change when I was 27, and everything in my head and my programming as Connie said, you should stay in this career. It was what my father wanted. It was what all my peers were doing. They had good logical careers. I'd studied 5 years at university. It's literally what I grew up believing and thinking I wanted to do with my career. So I had all of this life experience and programming and belief systems and other people's expectations of what I should do with my career. But I said to him, I said, but I had this feeling. I just had this feeling and this knowing that there was something else for me. And I just knew that when I would, you know, read these books and study coaching and do personal development work, something in me came alive. And it didn't make logical sense. I was 30 years old going to retrain as a life coach. People were like, what is even a life coach? You know, wasn't a legitimate career in Australia. Everyone told me I was crazy. You've just thrown away 10 years of your career and 5 years of university. Nothing about it was logical. But I just knew and I just felt it. And it felt like my truth and it felt like what was right. And it felt like a deeper part of me was guiding me and telling me, Connie, this is what you're meant to do with your life. Now, for me, that part of me does not come from my human self. That part of me does not come from who I learned to be. It comes from who I was before I came here. Now, depending what your spiritual philosophy is, for me, it comes from my soul. It comes from who I am below all my human programming. It comes from my truth, my true essence, my, again, what I would call my higher self, my infinite soul that in my view has moved through millions of lifetimes. So I believe intuition is your soul speaking to you. That's just my view. It's not anything you've learned about yourself. It's not anything that has been programmed into you. It's almost like that voice that just says, this feels right. This is a gut instinct. This is just a knowing. I know I need to make this change. I know I need to do this. I know this is what I'm destined for. Something in me just comes alive and it feels right, even though I can't explain it. I can't explain it logically. And that for me is gut instinct. And, you know, my boyfriend, I was talking to him about it and he's like, I don't know if it's intuition. He goes, but I do know when something just feels right. He goes, I just know, like, I know how everything feels to me. And I go, yeah, that's a real intuitive, like, gut instinct thing. Well, you're not thinking about it and thinking, is this right? And does this look good? You literally just go, this feels right. This feels right. This feels like the right thing to do. And so that's sort of an intuitive, like, knowing to me. And then the inner voice is the part of me that's sort of speaking from that energy and guiding me towards that. It's guiding me on the journey of living my full potential, of living my greatest aliveness, of following my greatest joy. It's the voice that's guiding me to where I need to be and who I need to meet and what I need to do to live my destiny. Whereas for me, my mind is everything about what I should do and what makes sense and what will make money and what will get me security and what will get me love. And it's my ego. If you believe in that kind of philosophy of like soul and ego, which Eckhart Tolle talks a lot about. So that's how I describe it. And it's really beautiful. This woman's asked because I can tell she's really thinking about it, which is awesome. So when we talk about things like being based on past experience and buried in our subconscious, for me, that's still the mind. Because memory is the mind. For me, intuition is not at all based on past or future. For me, intuition is very pure. And whatever my intuition tells me is not based on anything I've ever experienced in the past or not. It's so pure. And usually intuition has absolute limitless possibility to it. So intuition won't ever say, you can't do this because you didn't do it in the past. That's your mind. Or you should do this because this is your past experience. That's your mind. Sometimes intuition can be protective. It can be like that inner warning signal of like warning, warning, pay attention. We know from past experience that this isn't safe for you or this isn't right for you. But to me, it's not a thinking process. So it's difficult when we're working on, say, subconscious emotions stored in the body. So there's a little bit of like, you really got to decipher in yourself the different feelings. But again, I describe intuition as like a gut knowing and instinct that I can't describe with logic. It's just what I feel and what I know and what I feel pulled to and what feels right. I mean, even I've been having this experience with my relationship all year, that my mind is very often fought against the relationship being like, because of past experience, because of how he's, the external form he's kind of come in, all these things. But every time I tune into my body just says this feels right. And see how for me intuition is so clean like that. There's no story or justification. It's just like, this feels right. This feels like the right thing to do. This feels like the right step. This feels like the right person. This feels like the right home. This feels like the next thing for me. And yeah, I hope that helps. I hope that clarifies it. I wish I could describe it more succinctly, but I feel like sometimes I need to go into a little bit of a story around it to kind of explain it because it's a really intangible thing. But again, I would always say intuition for me and my inner voice is very loving, very supportive, very wise. And not wise based on past experience, wise because like it knows better than me, kind of wise. And is not at all limited by anything. Very, very limited, expansive, infinite possibilities in terms of how that voice communicates to me around what I can have and achieve in my life. Hope that helps. Hope that makes sense. All right. Your questions are so good. This is a really good one too. And I think you can all relate to this. How do I know the difference? Hang on, question here. Intuition is an energy pull. That is one way I would describe it. That's definitely one way. And part of, I think, intuition is discovering in yourself the unique way that your intuition feels to you and communicates to you. But for me, I definitely do feel a pull. Even like, you know, I use my intuition, say, when I'm apartment hunting. I've always sort of said to myself, okay, intuition, show me. The minute I step into something, it's happened with every job I've taken, with everything. The minute I step into something, I listen to my body and I'm like, tell me in my body, is this a yes or a no? And I just get, I don't think about it. I just listen to my body and I will get an instant yes or no. And a yes to me feels like my body opens and relaxes and wants to lean in and wants to spend more time in the space or the environment and really, yeah, relaxes and opens and feels pulled towards. Whereas a no for me is a contraction. Like I might go to view an apartment and I can literally walk in and my body just goes, nah, not yours. I feel like my energy centers close in and contract. No, it's even been happening to me in the past when I would date. You can go sit on a date with someone and your head can be like, oh, this person ticks all my boxes and they're great. But my body just says no. This doesn't feel right. So I really pay attention to how my energy responds to everything. Beautiful. She said here, this really helped. I went into a total spiral about it. Well, this is the thing. We know if we're spiraling, we're up in the mind. And the mind disconnects us from our intuition. So to really connect with your intuition, take yourself out on a big nature walk, get into space, relax, do a yoga class, dance. Anything that brings you into your body and out of the thinking mind will help you feel more of your intuition. Yeah. So whenever we're up here spiraling, we know we're up in the mind at that point. And the mind can't understand intuition. You have to get out of the mind, create some space, and then we can feel we're intuitive. Beautiful. So question, how do you know the difference between seeking support from a loving place rather than from an energy of needing to fix myself? Really good question. So this woman said, I'm working towards slowing down and using my own inner wisdom from years of personal development work rather than busying myself with all these courses. So she says she's, you know, been taking quite a few personal development courses. Do you have any advice on how I can be more selective so I don't feel overwhelmed with all this growth work and perhaps stop myself a little when I'm choosing courses? And then she said, other than yours, of course. You're always welcome in my courses, beautiful. But this is a really good question because you're right. There are two energies that can drive our desire to do our personal development work. It can be coming from a place of, I need to fix myself. I don't know enough yet. I'm not healed enough yet. There's more I need to learn before I can do what I need to do. Versus when, and this is the place I was feeling into this around, versus when there's just something you feel really excited to learn about and develop within yourself. And I think there's going to be a little bit of like self-discernment here. And I think first of all, bringing, like slowing down and really bringing some awareness to what's driving perhaps your interest in a particular course or program. I even do this, and it's difficult to do, but anytime I go to buy something, I always really try to feel into what is the energy that's driving this desire or this need for this thing or this want for this thing. And you're right, we can come from a place of, because I was feeling into the difference, and it's, I know that place when I feel like there's something I need to fix, and say in my business is an area I'm sort of looking at a few of the problems and being like, oh, I need to fix this and fix that. I start to get a bit desperate when I look then at people's programs around it, and I feel very scattered and very like, but I need this and I need that one, I need that one, and if I can get this and this will help with this problem. And I'm sort of coming from an energy of being in the problem and trying to fix it. Like that's the driver. And feel that's actually quite an out of alignment energy. You're not in alignment really with what you desire. You're in alignment with the problem and you're focusing on that. And yeah, to me, I just notice what that feels like. It feels like there's a part of me that's sort of a bit graspy and a bit like just desperate to find an answer. and quite frenetic in the way that I'm looking for that answer. That's how it plays out for me. But what I've noticed with when I'm, you know, and this might be something you want to do, I'm very thought out before I invest in something. I think about it for a really long time. And I know we don't always have that chance when courses are being launched, but you might need to just give yourself a lot of time to really feel into what's driving the choice. For me, say I was thinking about some things I wanted to invest in next year. And one of them is I want to go to LA and I want to study with John Wineland. And John Wineland is this incredible teacher of masculine feminine work. I'm just like obsessed with him. And I was feeling into it, but my desire to go and do a weekend workshop with him is not anything to do with needing to fix anything in myself. I don't feel like I'm broken in this area. I don't feel like I don't know enough in this area. But the thought of doing that with him feels so exciting, and like it would just help me expand in this area, and it feels really fun and just makes me come alive. And so that to me feels like, I've noticed for me, it's that feeling of real expansion and excitement and aliveness through getting to study something or learn something. So I think first of all, see if you can find the difference of what it feels like in your body, of what's driving it. The second thing is, maybe, yeah, you actually want to put a real boundary around this. Either it's around putting a boundary of like, okay, I'm only going to spend X amount of dollars per year on personal growth courses. I'm only going to do one course at a time. I'm only going to do three courses a year. Let me really consciously think about what those courses might be, and maybe really sit down and actually be like, okay, what are the areas that I feel really excited to grow in, to learn about and expand in? If I was completely whole, perfect and complete, just as I am, there's nothing missing, nothing's wrong with me, nothing needs to be fixed. Is there any area at the moment that I just feel really excited to learn about and grow in? Maybe it's self-love. Maybe it's, for me, it's like learning about wealth creation. I'm really excited to learn about wealth creation and the money side of things. You know, am I excited like me to learn about masculine, feminine dynamics? Or for me, I'm also interested in Tantra. Am I excited? You know, what am I, if I was completely whole, perfect and complete, what would I just be excited to learn about next year? And then, okay, maybe I'm going to say that's an area of growth for me next year. I'm going to allow myself to invest in maximum 2 to 3 courses in that space. I don't know. For example, I think there needs to be a boundary around it. And then the final thing I just want to mention here as well is sometimes we delay and avoid and procrastinate on taking action because we think we need to learn more or prepare more in some way. And it's a delay tactic. You know, you see this in people, say in my industry, who are doing just certification after certification after certification. And I'm like, when are you going to be qualified enough to just finally get on with doing your work in the world, you know? And sometimes we need to look at that, those parts of ourselves that are actually using study as a way to avoid actually just getting into action. So that's another thing to look at. And I really want you to rewrite this story around the idea that there's anything in you to fix. What if there wasn't? You know, and this is the beautiful self-love work of like, there's nothing actually wrong with me and where I'm at right now, but there may just be an area that I want to grow and expand in and learn more about. And that's beautiful. And let me identify what that is before I say, go and open up to what courses are out there. So I know what I'm looking for and I'm clear and I've got boundaries around it. And sorry, the other key thing here as well, there was just a lot coming up in the question for me to touch on is, she said, I'm working on slowing down and using my own inner wisdom. Cool. Well, I want you to set that as your intention for 2020, is to focus less on the wisdom outside of you and to focus more on the wisdom within you and really actually begin to apply and implement everything that you know now, everything you've studied in all these beautiful courses, actually really get it all into implementation and be looking within now for all of the answers rather than looking outside of yourself. Beautiful. Got some cool comments coming through here. Gabrielle Bernstein, Adrian says, Gabrielle Bernstein calls something similar as manic manifestation. When we try to control or manipulate our manifestations, our energy becomes, When we try to control or manipulate our manifestations, our energy becomes frantic and needy. Yeah. Beautiful. I think noticing, the where your energy's at, and that's determining the space that you're manifesting from. Beautiful. Emma, I've realized that I need to take some time in between doing courses to process, integrate, and connect back with myself rather than doing back-to-back courses like I have been doing the past few years. Beautiful. Absolutely. Because there's a difference between learning something and living something, isn't there? So sometimes we're learning all this stuff, but are you actually living it? And if we're not giving ourselves space to live it, then it's just a whole heap of information in our head. And I actually think that the living of it and the implementation and application of it is so much more powerful. Even if you took only one course and you applied every single thing so thoroughly in your life from that course, you'd probably get a whole heap more value and create a lot more change in your life than if you did 10 courses and didn't apply any of it but learned a whole heap of information. Cool. Adrian, but manifestation isn't about getting and making, it's about being. It's about being in the energy of love, joy, and faith. Beautiful. That's a Gabby Bernstein quote. Beautiful. Thank you, Adrian. Yeah, she's teaching some really cool stuff about manifestation at the moment. I'm guessing that's sort of from her super attractor stuff. Keely, I have a quote on my 2020 vision board that says, listen to your intuition, it's on your side. Such a theme for next year. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I really like that. It is 100% on your side. And it's guiding you to things you don't always know why or where it's taking you, but it's always guiding you to what's in your highest good. Thank you for sharing. All right. Beautiful. Okay. I've got a couple of questions about career and jobs, actually. I'll see if I can pull them together. All right. Question. I'm in a job that since I've been aligning and leveling up, it no longer supports me, and I'm feeling that the work environment is grinding and tearing me down while I'm there. I'm only at the job now because of the time off it gives me. I work rotating shifts 2 days a week, 2 days, 2 nights, 4 days off. Yep. My question is, how do I stay at a job whose environment is becoming unbearable just to have time off, which I really value? So the job feels unbearable, but the time off is really valuable. Or do I find a job whose environment better supports me, although it will sacrifice my valued spare time? Cool. With context to the above question, I can see myself using my time off to do more learning, alignment, and growth, healing, progress. But wonder if being in such an unbearable environment will counteract the time off because it will wear me down and make me so tired. So this person's created a role that really difficult to be there at work, but the time off is really valuable because he values, anyway, there's no dramas, learning, alignment, and growth and healing, right? So wanting to invest time in those beautiful things outside of work, but actually being at work is really, really taxing. And you know, this is an interesting thing, particularly with our career. It happens a lot when we begin to shift, and we find it in all areas. Actually, some parts of our life now become really difficult to be in because the version of ourselves that created them, you know, we were in alignment with that, and then we change, and then we're sort of out of alignment now with the thing we created. And that's where we often have that experience of things needing to fall away or shift and change because we need something now that's in alignment with who we are. It's a difficult part of the up-leveling process. I guess what I want to touch on here and what kind of jumped out at me in the question is I always just pay attention to people's words and how things feel. So the word unbearable was used a couple of times to describe this work environment, and that's a really strong word. You know, sometimes we can just be like, oh, it's a bit draining or it's a bit annoying, but unbearable is that as a word to me that indicates like it's taking a massive toll. It's really difficult. And when we're looking at alignment, it's really, really difficult if we do all this beautiful work to come into alignment, say on our 2 days off, but then we have to go into an environment that just pulls us way out of alignment again. And we have to do all the work to come back into alignment. And then we're in this environment that pulls us out of alignment, you know, and it becomes really, really difficult. And this doesn't mean, you know, to everyone, well, we just leave our jobs when they feel out of alignment. But what I thought was really interesting here, and again, I'm big on language, so I just wanted to point this out. So the question here was, or do I find a job whose environment better supports me, although this will sacrifice my valued spare time? And what I felt to say here is, maybe you can have both. Because your mind has sort of limited you a little bit here. And it said, well, if I was to find a job that has a better work environment, that would mean I have to sacrifice my spare time. Now, true, you may not be able to get as much time off work as you would in this particular role, but maybe there needs to be a little shift in the belief here around what you could manifest, because maybe you can have both. Maybe it's actually possible to create a role that feels, you know, supportive to be there. Maybe it's not your dream job, but it feels supportive to be there, but it also gives you a good amount of time to yourself. And sometimes jobs, even if we have to show up there 35 hours a week, if it's actually not that energetically taxing to be there, then it doesn't take too much of a toll on us. And it actually means that outside of work, it's really easy to come back into alignment again, because we're sort of able to stay in alignment during the day. So I almost felt to say to you, you could rewrite your story around this a little and actually believe that you can kind of have both, and you can create a situation that will work well for you in both ways. So if you get really clear, I actually almost want to encourage you to use your focus and your language to create what you want. So you could sort of say, okay, my intention for my work, maybe what I want to manifest in 2020, is I want to create a job that supports me, supports my energy, supports my health, where I can feel happy and in alignment being there, while also gives me plenty of time outside of work to focus on the things that I really love and value. Now, that's a beautiful desire statement that if you focus on enough, I 100% believe you can create that. Now, like I said, you may not get as much time, but you might find, you know, something I remember manifesting, because I held the same intention. I manifested a job where I only worked seven hour day, I think including a break, but I would work from 8 a.m. to 4:30 every day. And that gave me, I mean, I was home by 5. That gave me so much time in the evening. I know at that stage I was studying coaching, I was writing on a blog, and I was doing all my personal development work. And actually I really enjoyed that job. It was a really creative, fun job. So being there didn't pull me too far out of alignment, but my work hours were good enough. And we also never worked overtime because we would get time in lieu. We had very set 7 hour days. And I had plenty of time outside of work then to do things that felt really good to me. So I got to have both. You could take a 4 day a week role. You could maybe do something that's similar to shift work, but it feels like in a more healthy environment, for example. I think it's about opening our mind to believe, because at the moment, if our mind is limited, we can only manifest what we believe we can have. And at the moment, your mind has made the connection of have a work environment that better supports me. I have to sacrifice my valued spare time. Maybe that's not the truth. So yeah. This belief, this new sort of intention or desire statement of I'm intending to create, or I am creating, or I'm going to call in a job that supports my energy, brings me into alignment, makes me feel good, makes me feel happy and healthy, and also gives me plenty of spare time to focus on the things that I'm really passionate about. And then, you know, really get clear on how much time do you want to need? So would it mean that you had, you know, some time in the morning? I actually have a girlfriend who has accepted a job, and she doesn't start till 10 a.m. every day. She works, I think, till 6. But she loves it because her morning time is her alignment time. She goes to the beach and she does her morning ritual and she does yoga. And so she still feels she gets more than enough time to do all her beautiful stuff because she starts late in the morning. So that has still worked really well for her. So I just felt to sort of say, maybe you can have both. And it's okay to feel that your current work environment is really, really difficult. And if you want to change that, there's nothing wrong with that. Beautiful. Give yourself permission to do that. But yeah, believe that you can have both. Keely said here, it's almost like trying to find a band-aid to a situation that isn't right for you. I'm trying to do that in my previous career as well. More self-care and inner connection have helped me cope, but definitely not thrive. Interesting. You know, it's funny because I was at one stage, I was working in a day job that was so taxing. Like, oh my God, so stressful, just all these things. And I would get home and I'd be so exhausted and drained that I didn't want to do anything nourishing. I just wanted to sit and watch TV. Then I changed over to a contract role. It was a 6-month contract role. It was very similar hours, similar distance from home, but it was a really fun job. Similar role, but just a really fun team. I felt really supported there. It was creative, it was fun, and I loved working there. Oh my gosh, I would come home and just be so excited to get into my yoga and my writing because it was energizing me. And it actually gave me more energy to then go and do the stuff, even though it was a day job that was completely different to what I wanted to be doing. I actually really enjoyed being there, and it helped give energy to things outside of work. And I always reminded myself it was only temporary, but it was a great temporary role for me. So I hope that's supportive. And rewrite your story around that. Set clear intentions around what you desire. I 100% believe you can call it in. And you can have both. And how you feel each and every day as you're going to work is important. And like I said, it's not about just being like, oh, change jobs every time it feels uncomfortable. But you don't have to stay in a situation that feels really unbearable and is taking a massive toll on you. Beautiful. Thank you for asking. All right, another question. This is a good one. How much should we balance focusing on what we want to create versus releasing blocks? So I find that I and people I meet get really caught up in releasing the blocks, that we forget to have fun or focus on alignment towards what we want to create. Such a good question. You know, and I've actually had this recognition in myself. I was talking to a friend about it, like how much I tend to default to, oh, let's go into the wounds and unpack the belief systems and feel the pain and revisit the past and talk about what created this and where did this belief system come from. And, you know, it's just my years of being a coach and working with people on helping them unpack and transform that. But you're 100% right. We can get lost in that. And what, you know, I say time and time again, whatever we give our focus to expands. Whatever we're putting our energy and attention onto is what we're creating in our lives. And if we keep defaulting our focus constantly to another block to work through, well, where did this fear come from? And, oh, I've got to work on my inner child now. And, you know, we can get lost in that. And we absolutely want both. And I love that this question has really helped illuminate to all of us. Don't forget to have fun. Don't forget to have fun. Just really focusing on what you desire and what you want. And as we talked about in our first workshop, I did mention there, sometimes, yes, we do need to go in and revisit the past and unpack stuff. Sometimes we really need support on that. Other times, we just need to shift the fuck out of it and go and focus on something that feels better. We actually just need to say, you know what? Sitting here and telling this story is not getting me anywhere. How about I shift my focus onto what I'm grateful for at the moment, what I can appreciate, what is feeling good, the positive aspects of my life, what I love about myself, the places that I'm a success, what I'm proud of myself for, all of the blessings that are currently in my life, and where I want to go, what I'm excited about, what I'm creating now, the change I'm ready to step into. I really love that because I think we all have the tendency to do it, and I think we just got to notice it. And that's been it's my inner guidance has been giving it to me as a message a lot of just like, you don't need to keep doing the healing work on. Maybe you just need to start to keep stepping into, you know, who you want to be, where you want to go, and just keep aligning with that. And again, it doesn't mean avoiding and not facing things. But, you know, again, I know I'm bringing up my boyfriend a lot here, but he's just been illuminating a lot to me lately. I was talking to him about something related to a girlfriend of mine and something she was going through. And he kind of bluntly said, Scorpios are very blunt. He kind of bluntly said, she's bringing it on herself. And I was like, no, not really. I'm like, she's going through some really real stuff. And he's like, yeah, but she just keeps telling herself the same story. And she just keeps focusing on it. And she's bringing all of this on herself. And I was like, whoa. Again, a bit of a blunt perspective. But sometimes it's like, am I just keeping myself stuck because I'm just digging into all my blocks all the time? And that's why everything I taught you, particularly in workshop 1, is so valuable. Because sometimes it's just reaching for you know, it's just, it's a conscious choice to choose your, to change your focus. Change your focus, change the story you're telling yourself, change your energy, put on a happy song and bloody dance through it. Go for a run around the block. give yourself a delicious body massage, you know, go jump in the ocean, give yourself a cold shower, just do something to snap yourself out of it and refocus your mind, because you're in charge of your mind, on having some fun, getting excited about what you're creating and realizing your mind is a creative faculty, and whatever you put that focus on is what is going to expand. So let's use it wisely and let's focus our mind on what we want. Really good question, and thank you for asking that. Keely, I declared yesterday that I was done with a particular lesson and ready to move on from it. I was keeping myself in the need to learn this lesson mindset. Oh my God, Sister Ophelia. Do you know, I had a really interesting thing come up for me several months ago about trust in a relationship, well, with my boyfriend. And I was running some old wounds and old patterns around not feeling like I could trust him. And I just remember this one day, I was talking to a friend, and she actually said to me, she's like, Connie, this place you're in is really toxic, because it was causing me to run toxic patterns of behavior, like wanting to check his phone and wanting to check his social media and always asking him where he was and who he was with. Like, I was becoming toxic. She said, Con, this is really toxic. She's like, you have to decide. You either just need to get over this or you need to end the relationship. She's like, 'cause you can't stay in a relationship where you feel this way and you're becoming kind of toxic. So you need to decide what you're going to do. And it was the most craziest thing, but I literally just made the decision that I was done with it. I just simply decided. I was like, do you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not being this person anymore. And I was, I don't know how it happened. I literally dropped it and it just went. And then it was interesting that the next day he kind of came to me and had this conversation. It was a really beautiful conversation that came out of nowhere about his loyalty to me, his commitment to me, his love of me, you know, reassuring me. And I suddenly was like, you know what? I feel really solid in this. And I said to him, I'm like, this is done. This isn't going to be an issue for us anymore. And I don't know how it happened, but it just disappeared. I just dropped it. And then since then, I haven't manifested in our dynamic anything to trigger it. Everything that's going on in our relationship now is actually making me feel very secure and very safe and very trusting. It was like all the stuff that I was causing him to, no, not causing, it was almost like I was manifesting him to play certain roles because I was looking for it. I was looking for proof and evidence that he wasn't trustworthy. As soon as I dropped that story, suddenly all I began to see was proof and evidence that he was trustworthy. Now, I wish I could package that up into a process. I don't even know how I did it. It was just literally the most fierce decision I've ever made of like, we are not doing this anymore. You need to stop this, Connie. It's ridiculous. And I remember being like, I don't have any proof or evidence, but I'm going to choose to take on the belief that he is loyal and honest and trustworthy. I'm just going to choose to take that on. And that's now what I'm going to manifest. And that's now what I'm going to see proof and evidence of. And that's been the case. It's a really crazy thing, but we can actually drop stuff really quick. We've always got to look at that part of ourselves. It's like, why might I still be holding on to this? How is this actually keeping me safe? Keely says, so powerful. We get to tell the universe we're done with something and no longer available for it. That was my exact language. I said, I'm no longer available for this. Yes. I even said to the universe, I was like, I am not available for anyone who is not completely honest and trustworthy. So if he's not that, just take him out of my life. Manifest something for me to remove him. I'm happy to let it go. But I was like, I'm only available for commitment, loyalty, and honesty. That's the standard. And I am trusting that if he's an energetic match to that, he'll stay in my life. If he's not an energetic match to that, I'm like, just universe, just take him. Just take him away. But he's still here because there's been nothing to show that he's not in full alignment with what it is that I'm wanting. That's such a good point, because that was exactly what I said. You get to tell the universe what you are and are not available for. And when you tell the universe you're available for something, even by focusing on it because you don't want it, it's going to bring it to you. Beautiful. Thank you, Keely. Okay. Whew. I'm like sweating. This is great. Lots of questions, but these are all really good questions. So I'm just firing through them. I hope you find this valuable. Okay, this ties on to exactly what I was just saying. What tools did you use to let go of limiting beliefs and stories around getting into a relationship? Can you give me 1 second? I'll be back in 1 minute. I'm sorry. Just everyone take a breather. I'll be back. I've never taken a bathroom break in a training, but really just needed to go to the bathroom. So thanks for that, guys. We're all human here. Okay. What was really interesting about getting into a relationship? So there was a mix of both. So I did work before calling in the relationship, and then I had to do work once the relationship presented. So the work leading up to the relationship was looking at the patterns I was manifesting with men that weren't giving me what I wanted. And then I began to have to work through that. So I was looking at some unhealthy things I was manifesting in relationships, and I was just, you know, I guess I was doing some of the past clearing work around what must I be believing and feeling within myself to call this in over and over. And, you know, when I realized I had some stories that this is a big story of mine actually, that I felt like I wasn't enough for a man to commit to me. I grew up with infidelity in my family, so I kind of always had this feeling that, or this belief that a man couldn't just commit to one woman, that one woman wasn't enough to hold his attention. So I manifested, you know, a lot of past experiences of men not really committing to me. And so when I began to notice the recurring pattern of what I was manifesting, I had to really look at, okay, what must I be believing and thinking about myself to continue calling this in? And as we just said, to be available to this, what within me is, what belief system is making me available to this? So I began to really look at that. And then there, part of it was some past healing. I had to do some healing work around my relationship with my father and how I felt about myself, which was, you know, just a lot of self-love work. But also I chose to begin to rewrite some of these stories. And I'm like, okay, well, if my old story is this, what do I want my new story to be? And I just began to write it out, you know, kind of like affirmations and statements to myself, like, I am worthy of love. I am worthy of commitment. I am enough for one man to commit to me. I have so much to offer in a relationship. Here's all the things I'm ready to offer. This is what I deserve to receive. This is the standard now of what I want. And when I went out to start dating, I set a very clear standard of what I was available for. And I said to myself, my number one requirement is that a man is willing to invest consistently in getting to know me. You know, because I had typically manifested guys who would like, oh, hey, you know, let's hang out, and then wouldn't hear from them for a month, and then they'd come back, and then they'd disappear again, and then I'd be like, oh, let's hang out. And it's just vague and wishy-washy. And so my new kind of standard was I want to date someone who is willing to consistently invest energy in getting to know me and potentially develop something with me. I want consistent communication. I want consistent dates. I want it to feel like momentum is building. And so I sort of set this new standard now. And, you know, it was hard. I had to up level within myself to believe I was worthy of that. And that was pretty much just through practicing that and telling that to myself and seeing what was beautiful about me and acknowledging that and loving myself and taking care of myself. So I really started to feel like a very, very radiant and magnetic in myself, because I was just doing a lot of self-love work, which can be, you know, anything from, I was taking really good care of my body. I was spending time tending to my body every day. I was, again, acknowledging all the beautiful qualities that I have to contribute to someone. I was looking at examples of people in my life who were in great relationships. And I'm like, see, it is possible for one guy to be really devoted to one woman. So I was looking for a lot of evidence to prove to me that it was possible for me to manifest that. And then I just had to set a new standard. And so any of the men who were not meeting that standard for me just no longer got my attention or energy. So there were two guys last year that just no longer in contact with them. One of them tried to reach out to me again, and I very quickly shut it down. Because again, I'm saying to the universe, I'm not available anymore for that type of relationship. I'm not available, so don't bring it to me. And so when I met my current boyfriend, that was one of the things I was impressed with him the most. He was very consistent in his communication, in his pursuit of me, in his organizing of dates, initiating things for us to do, leading the relationship in a really consistent way. And I called that in because that was the standard I set. I was like, this is the bare minimum now. I won't tolerate anything lower than that. And then as I got into the relationship, then all of my shit came up, as it does. A lot of emotion, a lot of stuff I had to work through myself around, am I good enough for this? And, you know, am I, can I do this? It's been so long since I was in a relationship, and all my stuff got triggered. So all I would do is I really tried to keep that separate from him. So it was my stuff to work through, and I really tried to not project it onto him. And so outside of the relationship, I would journal about it a lot. I would get some coaching. I got some coaching sessions. I've worked with really good therapists. I've allowed myself to feel a lot of emotion. You know, when I, at times I would feel massive fear that I was going to lose him, that he would abandon me, that, you know, all that stuff would come up, and I would feel it, and I would look to how could I take care of that part of myself that was terrified. So I did a lot of inner child work, a lot of reassuring of myself, a lot of talking to girlfriends. My girlfriends were fantastic. I did a lot of just talking stuff out with them and getting them to support me. And at times I did bring it to him in a very real, vulnerable way. When stuff would come up, I'd just be honest. I'd be like, you know, I just have this real fear of losing you. I have this real fear that this isn't going to work out. I'm, you know, I have this abandonment thing that you're going to leave me, and I, you know, I'm working on it, but I just need you to know sometimes it's a really real thing for me. And it brings a lot of fear and vulnerability. And so you might notice sometimes I close off to you, and sometimes I withdraw, and sometimes I shut down, and it's just because I'm feeling this fear, you know? And so I tried to be very transparent with him at times when my stuff was playing out, but not project it onto him wherever possible. It wasn't perfect. So for me personally, there was a lot of shit to work through to get into this relationship. But it started with getting really clear on, no, witnessing what my old stories were that were manifesting what I had created, up-leveling that, choosing something new and saying, this is the new standard now. No longer giving energy to anything that was in alignment with what, you know, what I didn't want. And now holding this standard and declaring that this is what I was ready to call in, and this is what I was worthy of, and this is what I wanted, and I deserved it. And then doing a lot of beautiful inner work through the journey to process my emotion, love and support myself, nurture my inner child, get support through other people, and rewrite my whole story around relationships, which I feel like I've done. So I hope that helps. We're getting there, guys. Oh my gosh, I just realized I've still got so many questions. I meant to be really succinct, and I just can't help it. I talk on things for too long. All right, let's keep going. Wow. I think I'd initially said this could be a 2-hour coaching call. I think our coaching call from last year was 2 hours. So I'm just going to keep going until I get through all of the questions. Like I said, if you missed part of this live, you can watch the replay. Hence why I went to the bathroom, because I knew this was going to be a long call. Okay. How do you support yourself when you're in the messy middle? So you've stepped into something new, started a new job in a new field this year, quit my old job in 2018, but I'm still not where I want to be. I feel like I've had a hard time slowing down this year and feeling like it's okay to rest because I'm not where I want to be and there's still so much to learn in this field. I feel like I'm ready to slow things down now and feel more grounded while still moving forward and up-leveling. How do I support myself in this? I remember this feeling, particularly like when I set up my business, and actually I still feel it in my business now. I still feel like I'm not where I want to be. I still feel like I'm in a constant phase of transition in the middle of, you know, from where I don't want to be to where I do want to be. And I actually think that's a good thing, because once you've arrived at where you want to be, what's left? The journey is such a beautiful part of the process, and we are all very outcome focused, aren't we, and destination focused, and we think, oh, I can't relax or I can't be happy until I get to this place where I finally know enough and have got it all sorted. But once you're there, what's left to learn? What's left to do? You're just bored, really. So I actually think, like, again, a reframing of the story here around it's okay to be on the journey. It's okay to be in the process. It's okay to still be learning and growing. It's okay to not have it all figured out. And how about we just relax into that? So when we have a judgment on that, we make that wrong and we resist that, we will start to get into that fearful, reactive place and be like, oh, I need to get out of here. This isn't good and right. I need to try to work harder and get to where I want to go. Kind of like the manic manifestation that Adrienne had shared, Gabby talked about. But when you actually just allow yourself to relax into where you are and make it completely okay that I'm on the journey, I don't know everything there is to know yet. I'm imperfect. I'm figuring this out. I'm still in the process. When you stop resisting it and you allow it and accept it, then you can sink into it. And then you can just embrace it and work with it and be like, okay, so I'm still on the journey. I'm still got a lot to figure out. That's okay. That's exciting. It means I'm growing, I'm developing, I'm learning. Can I still love myself and accept myself even though I don't know it all yet, even though I'm still kind of in a messy part of this process? You know, messy is to some extent a judgment of maybe not good. Sometimes messy is, it creates a negative feeling around something. So maybe we want to take out that messy word and just be like, I'm still growing and developing here. Beautiful. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that there's still so much to learn. I'm excited about like this whole process. And so from dropping the resistance around it, I think you will be able to sink into it more. And as you sink into it more and you embrace where you are and you let it be okay and you stop judging it as wrong and any need to speed up, you will be able to slow down and just sink into it and be like, okay, this is going to take time. You know, and sometimes what I like to do is take the time pressure off things by saying, particularly in my career, I'm like, I intend to be in this career for the rest of my life. So what's the rush? Why don't I just enjoy it? Why don't I just enjoy the unfolding and the evolving of me, of my potential, of my work, of my, you know, and if I stop making anything about where I am wrong, then there's nothing wrong. I'm just on a journey. Beautiful. So I think that will help you sink into it more. And what you can also do is, because your mind is a little bit focused on where you're not, what you don't know yet, what you haven't achieved yet, where you're not, where you want to be yet. So can you shift your focus onto really acknowledging how far you have come? This is like, are we looking at the glass half full or the glass half empty? Can you look at, let me acknowledge how far I have come, how much I have learned, how much I do know now, how much I have progressed this year. Let me celebrate my achievements. Let me feel proud of myself and acknowledge myself. Simply doing that will shift you out of the mindset of I don't know enough yet, I'm not there yet, into I know so much, I've grown so much. Look at how much I've progressed. This is where I am now and I'm so excited about where I'm going to go a year from now. Imagine if I've done all this in this year, imagine how much I can do next year. How exciting. It changes your whole feeling around it. And I think the more you change your feeling around it, the more you'll feel safe to relax into the journey and into the process, rather than feeling like you can't possibly slow down because there's too much to do. Hope that helps. All right. I'd love to hear your thoughts on keeping an open mind when it comes to my dreams and desires versus specifically defining my dreams and desires. Sometimes I think that my ability to be flexible and keep an open mind is a key to my success and being able to be agile in jumping on an opportunity that presents. I've had a few questions kind of come up around how specific to get with our desires, so this is good. So the being specific is useful because sometimes it can just help you get clarity on what you want. It can help you more deeply activate the feeling of what you want, because it's really being able to tap into that feeling that helps you manifest it. Because you'll call in, when you're radiating a certain feeling, you call in things that are in alignment with that feeling that you're feeling. without emotion. It also begins to condition your body mind to think that you're already living that reality, so it speeds you up manifesting it, you know, when you make it really real within yourself. So look, I think specifically defining it, say in some areas, can be really useful. It can give you a lot of clarity, and it also helps you know, you know, it's useful to have specific goals. If there is a goal you're wanting to achieve, actually really defining that helps you know what you're aiming for and helps you know when you've hit it. So it's up to you. If you find specifically defining it does help create a feeling of clarity, does help give you direction, does help you know what you're looking for, does help you feel the feelings of having it, then it's really useful. But if you find getting into the specifics actually feels restrictive and claustrophobic and too limiting, then don't do it. This is something I've, you know, when I was calling in a relationship, I, for a while there, got very, very caught up in images in my mind of how I thought he needed to look. And that pulled me into going very narrow in my focus and really looking for something that looked exactly like what I had in my mind. But instead, what I started to do, and what I did before I met my current boyfriend, is I focused so much more on how I wanted it to feel, what I wanted to receive in that relationship, and how I wanted to feel as a woman in that relationship, how I wanted his energy to feel, what I wanted his presence in my life to create for me, to give to me, to help me with, to support me with. And then I let go of the specifics of what he would look like in terms of appearance or where he's at in his life or any of the details. And that allowed me to call in something that, yes, definitely doesn't look like what my mind was expecting, but has given me all of the feelings I was wanting to feel and more, to be honest. He actually so beautifully has given me exactly what I've needed this year, even though he hasn't come in the package I was expecting. So I think only be using those specifics if you are very clear on something specific you want to create, or if it really helps activate the feeling. Otherwise, I would stay open to the shape and form. I mean, typically when I call in an apartment, I have a few key things that I like in an apartment, you know, light, clean, secure, up high, spacious, you know, I just have a few like modern facilities, but I also am pretty detached about exactly the specifics of what that looks like. I focus more on how is it going to feel to live in that home? What do I want to feel when I'm in there? And I think that allows you then to call in something really in alignment and be open to the various ways it's going to come in and what it's going to look like. Okay, cool. Whoa. Okay, we're getting there. Sorry, another question about jobs. So I forgot to link this to the other one. So I have a feeling that I'm being called to leave my job next year, but I don't have anything to go to, and I feel paralyzed by fear and anxiety around it. Is there any additional light that you can shine on changing careers, leaving without a plan, overcoming fear and anxiety of the unknown? Yeah. Look, I think changes in our careers are a really big thing because we, you know, I always try to be really real about it. I don't want to go too woo-woo around things related to just basic security and financial well-being and all of that, because I have at times sometimes left careers without really thinking about, am I going to be okay financially if I do this? And I want to sort of just be really real and practical about that. Like, we of course want to trust that money will come and will be supported, but we never want to put ourselves in a place where we go literally into fight or flight nervous system because we don't know if we are going to have a job coming up or if we're going to have money. Like, none of us thrive in that situation. But, you know, if you have, I've got a girlfriend who, she's got some great savings under her belt and she left her job and she's got plenty of time to space out feeling to what's next for her. So just, it depends on your situation in terms of whether you feel like you have the financial resources to just leave and see what happens, or if from a financial perspective, you really do need to have something lined up. Only you will know that. But I think it's really important we don't go woo-woo about things related to security and money, because we really have to take care of ourselves in that way. However, I guess there's a couple of things here. one thing I was feeling, and I've noticed this when it comes to creating change and manifesting something, what kickstarts the process of change and of you calling in something new is you have to make a wholehearted decision that you're going to create the change. Like, you have to wholeheartedly decide, I'm doing this. Because when we are a bit wishy-washy and we're like, oh, I want to leave my job, but like, should I? I don't know. And I don't know what's next. And I really don't want to be here. Like, we're just sending out a wishy-washy message to the universe. My first thing that for you to do is actually to decide whether you are going to leave or not. Now, making that decision doesn't mean you take action on it right away. This isn't about needing to go hand in your resignation. It's about you deciding in yourself. Because that decision is what kickstarts the whole process. And until you've decided, nothing happens. Life's like, why are we going to bring her another job? She hasn't even decided she wants to leave her job yet. So we'll just wait over here until you tell us what you want to do. Do you want to leave? Do you not want to leave? Now, I get it. It's a really big decision. But for me, that's what's always started the process, is I don't need to take any action just yet, but I do have to make a decision in myself. Am I staying here or am I leaving? Clear-cut decision. Now, once you decide, okay, I'm leaving. This is it. I'm done. I'm leaving. Awesome. Then everything begins to get in motion for you. So if you decide you're leaving, cool, make that whole hard decision. Then make sure you're really clear, similar to what I said to the person before, around what you want to call in. Now, maybe you don't know exactly, but here's a few questions to kind of think about. Like, do you know what you want instead? What's missing for you in this current role? What in this job doesn't feel good? What in this job is draining you, is out of alignment, is depleting you? What are you craving now? What are you craving next? What are you needing or wanting in your next role? How do you want to feel there? And actually spend some time. So this is all the work you can actually do before you have to go and resign that will prepare you. Make sure you've really done some of the work to just be spending time journaling about. Now, you may not know the exact job, but it can be, it's worth spending some time really creating a bit of a vision or some clarity or some feeling words or some idea of what you do want next, so that you're giving the universe some clues so it can start to bring it in for you. It's difficult to kind of know exactly what the situation is, but I also find the minute that I make that decision, I then start talking to my higher self or my intuition or the universe every day, being like, okay, we're doing this. Show me what's next. I'm ready. Bring me the next opportunity. I'm ready. Bring me my clarity. Okay, I'm leaving this job. I'm ready for my next thing. Show me what's next for me. And I might journal on it every day and ask for it. And I remember actually going through this when I left an apartment. So I was in an apartment that I was really unhappy with. I was sharing with another girl and I just really didn't like it. And at that stage, I didn't have the financial resources to leave. I didn't. And I just kept saying to the universe, I'm like, I'm done here. I can't do this anymore. Show me what's next. Bring me my next thing. And nothing really happened. But I would just kept affirming. I'm like, thank you for this place that I'm complete. I'm done. Show me what's next. Show me what's next. And then one day I was on Facebook and I just got tagged in this post of this girl who was leasing out this beautiful, fully furnished place for 5 months, 4 months, where I would have been able to stay in this beautiful, fully furnished place, paying a really great amount of rent. It was sort of like a short-term transition place for me, and it would have got me living on my own, which is what I wanted. And I went and saw the place, and as soon as I walked in, it was a yes. I was like, this is mine. This is where I want to be. And I remember thinking, shit, how am I going to talk to my flatmate about this? Out of nowhere, my flatmate comes to me, and she's like, oh, I've decided I'm moving out. I'm going to give the, do you want to stay on or should I give the agent notice? She's like, I'm going to go buy a place and I want to move out. And I was like, oh my God, suddenly everything just happened. A week later, I was in my new apartment. Now that came from this sort of ongoing decision of I was done, ongoing, come on universe, show me what's next, show me what's next. You know, I was I was looking online at apartments. And I was like, I can't afford any of this stuff. I can't afford to fully furnish a place. So I had been declaring I wanted to live on my own in a really beautiful furnished place. And I, in my mind, had thought I had to go buy all the furniture and get a lease. Whereas I manifested something where the furniture was already there. I could move straight in. It was what I could afford. And suddenly my flatmate wanted to move out as well. And I was like, oh my gosh, it all just came together. But until I was willing to get really clear and determined that I was ready for my next thing, I couldn't have manifested that happen. So I know that's probably a little bit of a tangent, but I do think it's worth spending time really getting clear on what you would like next, even if it's just, you know, how it will feel and the gist of how it will look. Make that wholehearted decision that you're done and you're ready for a change. Journal every day and even just ask that open-ended question. What do I need to know? What's my next step? Is there any step for me to take today? Show me what's next for me. Help me find clarity on this and just see what comes through. And then determining yourself whether you do have the resources to just take some space and what you want this to look like. Do you want to be able to just resign and give yourself some space and figure out the plan later? Or due to your situation, do you need to know what the next thing is before you resign? And if so, I would say just get out there. You know, sometimes when it comes to, say, finding jobs, we just have to, I don't know, sometimes I would just apply for things and find out what your options are and go talk to people and go and interview for jobs and just have that variety of experience that will give you an insight to help you uncover what it is you want next. And overcoming the fears and the anxiety, well, this is when we get to the point when, you know, I had massive amounts of fear stepping into that apartment. It was actually a lot more rent than I'd ever paid. But what was really interesting is as soon as I moved, I think I signed on like 5 new clients in a week and I manifested all of the money I was going to have to pay in rent while I was living there. So the money came after to support me through my willingness to make the change, but it wasn't a reckless change. I could still afford it. You know, changing careers, this is a tricky one to navigate, but the way we move through the fear and anxiety is we let ourselves feel it. Maybe we journal about it, get really honest. What are you most afraid of here? Actually face that. Don't avoid that. What are you most afraid of? And how can you support yourself with that? Is it about, you know, this is the other thing as well. Like if you really are following, if this is really being guided by your intuition, I find tuning into that intuitive voice that's loving and reassuring helps pull you beyond the fear. I've found that. Again, so, the more we focus on the fear and all the bad things that could happen, the more we're going to manifest that. But if we can tell a story around why this is going to be exciting and wonderful for us and the expansion we're going to feel and the lightness we're going to feel and, oh my gosh, I get to have something new and I can't wait for that. And, yeah, it's like it's scary, but it's also really exciting. And we get to, you know, as we said before, we get to reframe that into excitement about this really beautiful change we're making. And as long as we've set things up to support us, then we just have to trust the process that's unfolding. But I really think here it begins with you making the decision and then getting everything in motion from there. I hope that helps. This is actually a really cool question that sort of ties in, but this woman has said, again, about how detailed to get into manifesting your vision. She said, so when she wants to call in something new, she's actually a fantastic visualizer. And she's like, when I want to call in something new, I can envision all of it. Like, say she wants to call in a new job. She's like, I can envision who I'll be working with, what I'll be doing, where I'll park, what my office looks like, how I'll feel, who I'll have lunch with, the kind of work I'm doing, what my commute will be like. She's like, I can visualize it all. But then, if that thing I'm really focused on actually doesn't come true, so the real specific of that job, say, if that job doesn't come through, she says, I go into a real low and I feel a real letdown because I got so involved in living in the details of what I wanted to create that then it feels like a massive letdown. And so she's like, every time someone asks me to visualize something like this, it gets really debilitating and can turn into a really depressing kind of day if I get really focused on those one thing, that one thing, and it doesn't materialize. Cool. So how do you visualize and get specific, but not too specific that you get the letdown? So this does sort of say what I, tie into what I was saying before about focusing more on the feelings of it. And what we sort of need to look at here is, and this is a bit subtle, but we'll just call it out, is sort of where our ego gets a little in the way in manifesting. Because what that letdown feeling is an indication that there was some level of attachment there and there was some type of expectation. And Christine Hassler called it an expectation hangover. When you're expecting something to happen, it doesn't happen and you have to deal with that real hit of emotion. So it indicates here there's been some expectation and attachment to like part of you has kind of attached onto what you wanted. So one thing that is really needed with manifesting is an element of detachment, is an element of I'm going to focus in on what I want, but then I need to let it go. And so I use what you might need to do is actually zoom out from the details a little, probably go a little bit more broad and vague and just focus more on how you want things to feel. So what I would do is focus more on the feeling and then come out of that process and say to the universe, okay, this or something better. This or something better. And then also bring me a manifestation of this feeling in terms of whatever is in my highest good. Whatever manifestation of this feeling is in my highest good, bring me that. I'm completely open and detached to exactly what shape and form it comes in. I know it needs to feel like this for me. So I trust you. Bring me whatever version of manifestation will help me activate those feelings the most. Like I've had to go through this so many times with men where my ego has got very attached onto a man and what I think he represents and what his life will give to me and what it would be like to date him and be his partner and all of this. And it's kind of all ego shit. I'm not saying it is you, but our ego can get in the way. And like I said, with his current relationship, he hasn't in a lot of ways come in the form of what my mind would have painted as a picture. But out of everyone I've manifested, the feel, like I said, the feeling and what he's contributed to my life and the woman he's allowed me to become and the support and love I receive is like more than I've ever been able to call in ever. And that required me to let go of the specifics of the detail. So there's sort of this need to own the desire, feel the feeling, use the visuals just to activate the feeling, not to actually latch on to the details and then come out of it and say, okay, universe, I trust you. Bring me this or something better. Bring me a manifestation of this feeling that is in alignment with my highest good. Because again, this has happened to me with apartments. I will latch on when I'm house hunting onto an apartment. I will literally obsess over the apartment and imagine how I'm going to decorate it. And then I don't get it. And what I've realized in those times is one, if something doesn't come to fruition, it's because it wasn't the right thing for me. And two, and this is also another thing is, you actually need to rein your mind in and not let yourself get too carried away until you have confirmation that it's a yes or that you've got the thing. Then, you know, imagine to your heart's content. But maybe it's a little bit of just watching how your imagination kind of gets carried away and actually just reining that in a little bit and being like, you know what, it's okay to get excited about this, about the possibility of this and to really want this. But it's okay if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be okay because I know something else better will come. So I think it's just managing that process a little bit within yourself now that you recognize it. But I mean, you're a fantastic visualizer. So well done on having that ability. That's great. I think it's just looking at a couple of the key areas that I just touched on around that. But thank you for sharing. All right, we're getting there, loves. I just spilled water on my keyboard.
Oh, God, damn. Let's see if we can get that off. Oh no, hang on, now I'm clicking a million things. Oh dear, guys.
It's Sorry, my computer just froze. Here's my lighting. Come back in, lighting. Let's just fix this up a bit. Oh, cool, Gretchen. I'm glad that resonates with you too. Crap, I can see there's water in my keyboard. Let me just rub this. Damn. It's only a little bit, but I just don't want it to leak in. Sorry, guys. Real life over here. How do I get my lighting brighter again? It's really overcast in Sydney at the moment. It's not really helping. Okay. Whew, it is hot in here. All right, we're getting there. Where are my notes? Okay, really interesting question here. So this woman's saying, I've been shifting in and out of alignment, but now I'm able to stay in alignment longer. In fact, it's happening on a consistent basis. I'm really able to come into alignment and it feels amazing. This is a really interesting question. I've actually never had something like this come up, but I think it's really powerful. This woman said, it feels amazing to be in alignment. However, my sexual energy is off the charts. She said, I don't want to complain because it's wonderful. But she says, I feel like I'm reaching and feeling a big need for the outside to meet my satisfaction. Men are flowing to me. I'm a married woman. Then she says, is it my alignment that's bringing on this energy? And do you have any suggestions on how to work through this? So this is a really interesting thing. She's like, doing all my alignment work is obviously really elevating her energy and making her very magnetic and is really activating her sexual energy. But is attracting people towards her, or she's noticing she's looking outside of herself for the satisfaction. Really interesting. I mean, this can definitely happen. I mean, it all alignment and getting energy moving through our bodies expresses differently for all of us. And this can absolutely be one part of it. And it's beautiful. You're right. You don't want to make it wrong and you don't want to necessarily turn it off. But I guess there's a couple of things you might want to explore here that were coming to my mind. Oh no, then sorry. She also says, further on, currently I'm going to the outside and getting caught in wanting to control outcomes, reaching for more attention. My thoughts are becoming overpowered by fantasies. And then it pulls me out of alignment. I'm really distracted. Okay. So this is actually an interesting thing. When we begin to activate a lot more energy in our body, we have to learn new ways to hold and manage that energy. And grounding ourselves is incredibly important. I wonder, do you feel, and this will just, you know, a few things for you to explore. Do you feel really grounded in your body? So sometimes sexual energy can feel, or any energy, it could be abundance energy, can feel ungrounding. So I know if I've ever called in big, say, opportunity and visibility, I feel wobbly. Like I haven't anchored the energy. It's kind of like up here, right? And I don't know if it feels like that to you, but we want to make sure any new energy we're circulating through our bodies and pulling in is very grounded. So you want to make sure you're doing some grounding work. The other thing that was coming to my mind is maybe some of your chakras are a little out of balance, particularly say we look at the lower chakras. If we've called a lot of energy into that space, maybe they need to be rebalanced, because chakras, the energy centers, can either spin too slow and can get stagnant, or they can spin too fast and actually kind of become loose in their energy. So again, that was a feeling of around maybe actually doing some work on your lower chakras. You can just find like guided meditations on YouTube and things like that that help you balance your chakras, because we do have chakras that govern our sexual energy. So your root chakra and your second chakra will govern that a lot. So maybe some meditations and some mantras and things that really help ground and balance that, you know, getting out in nature, working on the lower part of our body. So grounding our feet, giving our legs massages can really help ground us when we're calling in new energy. But I guess there's a couple of other things as well. Do you have a self-pleasure practice? That's a key thing to explore here, because whenever we're activating sexual energy, we think about it as being related to the opposite sex or being related to someone else. And it doesn't have to be. Maybe, and again, these are all things I don't know the answers to, but if you don't have a consistent self-pleasure practice, that could be a beautiful outlet for you to actually, in a very safe container with yourself, release and experience and process that energy. So I mean, for every woman, I think every woman should have a really healthy self-pleasure practice every day as part of, you know, whatever works for you. But it's, you know, sexual energy isn't just about other people. And having our sexual needs and energy satisfied isn't just about other people, particularly as women. So much of it is for our own bodies and our own pleasure and our own nourishment. So if you don't have a self-pleasure practice, I would suggest taking one on. You can do it in really healthy ways through using crystal wands. There's a lot of incredible teachers out there. I would look into Juliet Allen. I would look into Rosie Rees. I would look into Kim Anami. Who else might you look into? I feel like I know so many women in this space. Start with them. Well, I know both Julia and Rosie have online stores that sell beautiful crystal wands and things that you can use yoni eggs and teach a lot about. Oh, another woman is Asti Marie. She teaches a lot about it as well. These are great women teaching around that for yourself. So you might find that needs to be focused more within yourself and expressed and released more within yourself. The other thing I would say is, what's happening in your relationship? Is there a disconnect in that area, say you're married, in your relationship? If so, perhaps that needs attention, because I just wonder if there's outside sexual attention coming, men coming in, and you're feeling yourself caught up in that. I wonder, what is that indicating about where your relationship is at the moment sexually? Are you sexually satisfied? Are you getting the energy from your partner that you need? Are you expressing to him what you're needing? Because if you were really satisfied there, I can't imagine you'd be looking as much outside. So just reflect on whether there needs to be some work going on in your dynamic there. And then again, and look, if there's new fantasies and new desires coming up, is your relationship a safe place for you to explore that? Does there need to be other outlets for you to explore that? There can be a lot of different ways that we can be exploring new aspects of our sexual energy that doesn't again have to be about external people. You know, it can be within your container or your relationship with yourself. I just feel like if you work more on grounding this energy, having outlets within your own self-pleasure practice, and having this actually overflow into maybe deepening your sexual relationship with your husband, maybe the stuff with the other men won't need to grab your attention so much. And I guess the other thing to look at is, as a woman, we can attract sexual attention, but it's up to us what we do with that. So we can either attract it and then give our energy back to it and invest our energy into it and almost foster it a little, or we can just receive it and then we can just feel it. So, you know, any woman will know the feeling of walking down the street and attracting attention, having someone check them out, having someone look at them, you know, having a man show desire towards you. Like, every woman knows that feeling at some point in their life. And you can just breathe that in and receive that. Or you can then put your focus on it and invest your energy in it. So maybe there's also like this, you don't want to turn this off, but maybe can you just hold it more and just receive it and just breathe it in and be like, beautiful. I am really magnetic. I'm really radiant. All these things, but I don't then have to go and act on that. Unless this indicates something about your relationship that does need some attention in terms of any cracks in that relationship that need to be looked at. And like I said, you know, if there's actual new fantasies coming up for you, there's a lot of different ways that you can have outlets for that. So rather than that being held in and then overpowering your mind, again, find ways where you can be exploring those and expressing those. And I think once that energy has healthy expressions, it won't feel as intense. Yeah. Okay. We're almost there. I know I keep saying that, but okay. This is a really big, powerful question. So something I feel resistance in and towards is being seen, allowing myself to share my work authentically without a sense of imposter syndrome or adding to the clutter and the noise of the online world. It's as though I can stand in my higher vibe, but when I think of this to go and act, my vibration will lower really quickly and then I'll get up into my head and step back into old habits. What are some ways of finding consistency with holding my hold high vibration? Having it feel steady and solid and true during the times I need it most, like stepping outside my comfort zone. So I think she's saying she can create it within herself, but then she goes to say, share her work with the world, and she gets up into her head and like sets back into old habits. And I think what's interesting here, and this might be something to explore, is what happens. Like, I actually wonder if the actions you are going to take, if they're actually in alignment and if they're coming from your higher self or if they're coming from what you think you should do. You know, I've noticed this a bit around, you know, sharing my work and being seen, is I oscillate between these two places of like feeling very genuinely inspired to be seen and share my work versus feeling pressure to be seen and share my work and then feeling like I have to. And because, you know, if you don't share, you're not visible, then no one knows about you. And then I feel a pressure. And that's an out of alignment feeling for me. I wonder if any of that's going on, because that's a sign your head's coming in. So maybe we want to let go of everything you know about what it means to be seen and share your work and actually do your work to come into your higher self and then ask that energy, from this energy, what do I feel to do? What do I feel to say? How do I feel to share myself in this moment? What do I feel to put out? What do I feel to, yeah, how do I feel to be seen and to share myself? And actually, when it's like, you know, this is aligned action, when we come into alignment and then that energy inspires the action, inspires the idea, inspires the step. It's like that energy moves us. And it feels like there's a little disconnect there. So for me, like the times that my visibility and my work is the most aligned is usually the times when I do my inner alignment and I write and I create and I just get this message move through me. It's like this, oh, this wave. And I just have to follow it. Now, I might feel afraid. I might have some resistance. But usually that wave of energy feels so strong that I step into it. And they're the times that I'll get on an Instagram live and just be like, boom, here's the words that need to come out. Or the times that I'm really tuning in and I'm just writing these words and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's my Instagram caption. That just has to go up. Or I'm tuning in and I'm like, oh my God, this course idea, this aligning with your higher self and elevating your life. Oh my God, I just so want to share this. And so I let the energy guide whatever action I'm going to take. Doesn't mean there's not fear or resistance there. Most of my visibility triggers fear and resistance too. But when I'm really tapped in, the energy of what I'm being called to do is bigger than my fear. So I sort of feel to say to you, drop any ideas or expectations or pressure, or, you know, maybe you're looking to what other people in terms of how you should be visible and share your work. And just follow that energy, because when you follow that energy, all the stuff around imposter syndrome and is this authentic and am I just adding to the noise, that doesn't exist, because that's not why your higher self shares this stuff. Your higher self isn't even sharing it to try to be visible. Your higher self isn't even sharing it to try to make money or get your work out into the world. It's just like, it feels like the most natural and normal thing to do, to bring this energy out into words, into creations, into work in the world. It's not meant to stay inside. It's meant to come out. And there's actually a real beautiful feeling that comes from bringing it out. Like, I find that's why I love speaking so much, is because when I can connect with the energy in my body and just let it flow out so freely, like most of the time on these types of calls, I'm not thinking, I'm not in my head. I'm literally just like feeling words move through me. I feel so alive when I communicate like that. And so for me, the intention is like the aliveness I feel, the feeling of expression, the feeling of creativity, the feeling of like, oh, so good to share this. And that to me becomes the, what's on my light again? That to me becomes the intention. And I think, yeah, like I said, it's really easy to sort of, anytime I know I'm like, oh, I really should do an Instagram post. I really should write something. I've got to be more visible. I've got to put a podcast out. I'm already out of alignment. Or like I see someone else be visible and I'm like, yeah, I really need to get visible too and put my work out there. Nah, out of alignment. If your work is destined to come out, your higher self will tell you how to bring it out. And you just have to trust that and let it flow through you. It's got to feel like flow, right? And it's okay if you're scared. All of us feel scared being really, really seen for who we are. But you just bring that fear with you. You just carry it along with you. And you're like, okay, darling, I know you're terrified, but we're going to do this anyway. And then it all gets easier and easier. But then this person's also said, I tend to feel really high levels of comparison. People that I'm inspired by and people that I follow, and it's really debilitating. And I think that's what's tripping you up. I think you're looking to people of how it should look and how you should do it and the way they're doing it. And I think that's paralyzing you. And so she's like, I have this sort of feeling like I need to be better at dealing with it. So I just keep putting myself in these situations, even though it's really triggering. And she's like, should I remove these triggers from my life and try to focus on myself and my own voice? How can I be inspired by the lifestyle of people I admire and respect without feeling envy and comparison? Well, yeah, we want to look at these people who we admire as forms of inspiration, as role models and examples of what's possible. And they're showing us things within ourselves that we want to embody and share, but in our own way. And really look at some, you know, identify this person, these people that trigger you, that you compare yourself to, and actually write out what are the qualities they're embodying, or what is it that you see in them that you really want to have within yourself? And how do you currently believe you don't have that within yourself? Because right now, envy is like looking at what someone has, but not believing you have that or that you're capable of that. But you can't see something in another that you don't have in yourself. So actually these people are mirrors and they're trying to show you something that you have, but you're not owning it. You haven't owned, whether it's their confidence, their success, their articulateness, if that's a word, their wisdom, you know. You admire it in them because it's a part of you that you're yearning to express. So write it down and be like, okay, thank you for showing me. Thank them. Thank you for showing me that I'm ready to own more of my wisdom, that I'm ready to use my voice in a more powerful way. Thank you for showing me that stepping into my confidence is really important to me. Thank you for showing me that, yeah, wealth creation is really important. Thank you for showing me. Yes, I want an opportunity like that for me too. Thank you for showing that to me. And then let them go. The number of times I've gone on Instagram lately and gone to accounts where people are following zero people, I keep seeing it everywhere. A lot of people are cleaning up their feeds and being like, I only want forms of things that I'm seeing all the time that make me feel good. Now, this is hard, you know, when it's people who we care about and admire, but I've had to mute a lot of people and unfollow people. And sometimes we're doing it because we've got to look after our energy. And if right now focusing on these people is completely derailing you, take your bloody focus off them. Yeah, take your focus off them. Really focus in on you. Like thank them for what they're showing you and then let them go. And love them from a distance. And refocusing on you and what you are feeling called and inspired to share. I know this is always easier said than done, but this is something we're all going to have to navigate in this online world. And so whatever supports you the most, set that up. And whatever's derailing you, remove that. Yeah? Okay. Almost there. What have I got remaining here? I've done that one. We've done that one. What's the best way to connect with your inner guidance? Over the years, I have found journaling to be my best way. And the way that I started with it is I began just believing that there was a voice, a wise, loving voice that would talk to me. If I asked it a question, it would give me an answer. And so I would write to my inner guidance in my journal. I would do Q&As. And I just decided to believe that I did have inner guidance and I did have access to a voice that was loving and wise and supportive and all-knowing and that was guiding me and would talk to me. So I would write open-ended questions like, what do I need to know about this? Or can you provide some supportive words in this area? Or what's my next step here? Or is it time to make this change and why? Or whatever I wanted to know. And I would just start writing. And sometimes I would start writing and I would think, this is just you, Connie, writing. This is just coming from your head. But the more that I would write and I would just flow, then another voice would take over. And I'd read it back. And even if it did come from my head, I mean, who even cares? I'd read it back and I'd be like, oh, wow, that was really beautiful, supportive guidance. Just really nice, supportive words would come through. And I chose to believe that was my inner guidance talking to me. I was like, that's my inner guidance. And so believing in that and taking time every day to talk to it and ask it, even if I had to make a decision about something, I'd be like, I talk to the universe all the time, I talk to the roof. I'm like, okay, inner guidance, what should I do? What should I do? Show me through my body. And so I just began to believe that I had this guiding energy that I could talk to and ask questions to. And the more that I believed in it, the stronger and louder that voice became for me. And then, like I said, sometimes I'm writing stuff and the answers come and I think, oh, that could be my head. But if it feels supportive, does it really matter where it came from? If it feels helpful, if it feels like it empowers me and makes me feel loved, doesn't really matter where it comes from. But I chose to label that as my inner guidance, and that's really helped me deepen that relationship. Sometimes I let life get in the way of my practices and I think that I need things like, for example, going out tonight that I actually don't need. How to manage this. This is something I teach a lot in Slow Down and Tune In, but before you say yes or no to anything, before you put any commitment in your calendar, before you, decide to go out tonight or decide to have that thing for dinner, slow down and pause and just give yourself some space to feel into the decision, because a lot of us just make quite reactive, quick decisions. We're not really asking ourselves. So I would really take some time until you can clearly feel whether or not it's the right thing to do. So really feel like, okay, if I was to go out tonight, this is the example she's given, does this mean I wouldn't have time for my practices that are really important to me? Let me really feel into my body. When I feel into the option to go out tonight, or I feel into the option of staying home and doing these beautiful practices for myself, for example, how does each of those feel in my body? What feels like the right thing for me to do? And make it a really conscious process. Sometimes for me, for example, I might plan a really beautiful self-care night, but then my boyfriend calls and wants to come over for dinner. And I'm like, shit. Because I'm like, part of me feels like, oh, you know, I committed to doing the self-care routine tonight. Part of me feels like I'd really love to see him. And so I just really tune in and I feel what my truth is in that moment. And I might be like, no, you know what? I really need this time for myself tonight. And that happened not last night, the night before. I had this beautiful night and I was like eating a bagel with honey and I was watching a movie and he called and he's like, can I come over? And I was like, you know what? No, like I'm in my bathrobe. I'm going to go to bed. And I really just need this night for me. Whereas another time I might be like, you know what? Actually, it would be really nice to have company tonight. And I prefer that over doing my self-care. And that's my choice. So actually just make it a really conscious process of taking time to tune in, really feel what feels right to you rather than just automatically locking things in while checking into yourself. Okay. Whew, we are coming up to almost 2 hours of nonstop talking. Why is it so dark? I'll brighten the replay up before I post it. I just lose the light because it's really overcast here today. All right, let me just see if I've missed anyone's question. Give me, those of you who are still with me, you guys, you've been listening to me for 2 hours. How are you feeling? Give me a couple of words to let me know how you're feeling. Let me see if I've missed anyone's question. Okay, there's one that I haven't answered. How are you feeling, my loves? Okay, answered that. I think I've covered them all. I'd be really upset if I missed anyone. I hope I haven't. I've just got one last question. Someone was asking about feeling lonely. I realize I haven't answered that one yet. And then we are done. Where is it? Beautiful. Adrian's feeling grateful. Kylie's feeling content still. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Adrian, thank you, Connie. Thank you, everyone, for the questions. All right, I'm just going to answer this final one on loneliness, which I haven't got to. Any specific words of wisdom regarding loneliness? Because she's saying that during this personal work and up-leveling, you know, people and things fall away. And she's been reminiscing on, you know, how a lot of her friendships have fallen away. And it's not like, you know, as it used to be, where you have that beautiful group of friends and she cut ties with an ex and now she's feeling really alone. She's like, I'm doing self-care and self-love work, but there's just a deeper level connection that's missing. It's sad to look around and see people in photos of previous years, but who have drifted away and exited your life now. She's like, I'm joining like-minded communities and I'm committed to growing as a person and a friend, but I feel more alone than ever now, empty of real connection with people I've known deeply. You know, I really relate to this, and I was talking to a girlfriend about this. She's really struggling with this too. I think, first of all, loneliness is a really natural human emotion, and I think it's totally okay, and I don't think we should ever make ourselves wrong for it. We can all act, you know, like, oh, if I do self-love and self-care, I should be self-sufficient. Humans are designed for connection. We need each other. We're not here to be alone. We need each other. And we all want community. We all want connection. You know, we come from times of being in tribes. We all want that. So first of all, don't ever make yourself wrong. Just honor that and be like, okay, wow, my heart feels lonely. My heart feels tender. My heart is craving deep connection. Okay, let me honor that desire. Beautiful. I'm going to hear that. I'm going to say, heart, I hear you. I get it. We really all do have to be careful of this process of letting things go, that we don't end up isolating ourselves. And it doesn't mean staying in things that don't feel good, but we don't want to isolate ourselves. So I guess I just felt to say a couple of things. One, are there any of these connections and friendships that have fallen away that you actually do feel to rekindle? Because I have found that there's been, you know, older friends that I needed to take a break from because they felt really out of alignment. But then at a later stage, I actually felt to rekindle those friendships because I realized I really valued them. And as I came back to them as a different version of myself, we were able to rebuild the friendship now in a new way. So maybe just get honest if there's actually any of them that you do want to, do you feel to reach out to anyone? Do you feel to reinitiate any of those connections? You know, sometimes we do have to take that initiative to pick up the phone or to organize a cup of tea or to do a catch up with someone. So see if there's any area you're feeling that. The other thing I felt around this was, and you didn't articulate this, but, and I don't know if you're in a relationship, but my heart felt like there's a craving for a deep connection through intimacy, through a loving relationship. I don't know if that's the case, but that was what I picked up on. And if that's the case, beautiful, really honor that. And it's okay to really yearn for that. It's okay to really want that. And what's that going to involve? Okay, like I said, I don't know if you're in a relationship or not, but if you're not, really listen to that part of your heart that's ready for that and act on whatever that's going to look like to begin to put energy into building something like that in your life again. I think we all crave that partner, you know, that intimacy, that real closeness with someone, that little sidekick that we want to have in our lives. So if that's something that you're wanting, really own that and then look at what's it's going to require to start to call that in, to step into dating or meeting people again in that space. And it sounds like you're having some sort of surface connections, but you're craving that real deep connection. That's what I heard in your question. And so sometimes it's, again, I'm just throwing out ideas, but you know, we can get ourselves into online communities and things like that, but we don't really get that deep, rich connection. And to get that, we sort of need to, again, take the initiative and work on deepening a connection. So is there anyone that you've met recently or connected with where you're like, you know what, I'd really like to deepen this. I'd like to make this a more solid friendship. I'd like to get to know this person more. I'd like to really make this person one of my key friends. I often do that. I will look at people that I sort of just know and then be like, you know, I actually would like to have a much deeper relationship with this person. And so you look at ways then to deepen that connection. And, you know, say for a woman I'm thinking about that with, I'm interacting a lot more with her online. We're going to organize to catch up in person. I found out she's got a hobby that's similar to my hobby. And then she was asking me about where she could do it. And I'm like, why don't you come along to where I do it? And I'm just looking at ways that I can actually, you know, and then I'm making personal comments on things that are going on for her and paying more attention to her personal life. And I'm just thinking about how I can deepen our bond. And so sometimes we just need to take the initiative around that as well, around, okay, what would it look like to really make this a more deeper connected relationship? And how can I share more of my heart and myself with this person to deepen our connection? Adrian's got a beautiful comment here. I had this happen to me and I was sad and lonely leaving my friendship group, and it took time, but now I have the deepest, most supportive and loving new friends that do align with me and that feel so good, and I did the hard work to do it. I found that, this is a really good point, I found that deep connection is about being vulnerable. It is around people and being so open. My energy has matched the right people, and I've made these deep connections that I thought I wouldn't be able to do again without my old friends. Thank you. Real openness and vulnerability. You're exactly right. I said this to a friend the other day who has actually just started coming into new levels of vulnerability with me. I've never seen her cry. I've never seen her open up to me in the way that she has. And I've been saying to her, I'm like, honey, I feel so much more connected to you. She's like, oh my God, you must think I'm a mess and I'm a disaster. And I'm like, oh my God, you have just invited me in. You've invited me in, and I feel like you and I are connecting on such a deep level through her willingness to really show who she is to me and be real and be vulnerable. And to your, you know, well done, Adrian. It's not always easy to do, but that you're a beautiful example of that. Thank you for sharing that, that it is possible through our willingness to really be very real and authentic and open and vulnerable and share who we really are and talk from our heart and be real about, you know, our passions and our struggles and everything about us. We can form very deep connections, actually sometimes really quickly. And some of my friendships are very recent. Some of my friends are very new, but they're the deepest friendships I've ever had because we just get in there and just talk in the most real, revealed, vulnerable way. And we've been able to get to know each other real quick. So thank you, Adrian. That's a fantastic point. I really appreciate it. Oh my gosh. 2 hours of nonstop talking. Those of you who have stayed with me this whole thing, thank you. You're amazing. All right. I will get this uploaded onto the member site for you. Thank you for the questions. I really hope I didn't miss any. Really hope I didn't. But thank you for your questions. All right. I think we need to wrap it up here. Send you lots of love. Thank you, everyone. Keely, thank you. Connie, it's been an amazing course. My pleasure. I'm going to pop into the Facebook group. I'll talk about it soon, but I'm going to pop into the Facebook group this week and just do a couple of little guided energy activities just for us to really anchor in everything we've been talking about, so you have some sort of guided exercises to work through. But I'll talk more about that. Now that I've got my energy back this week, I'll do that this week for you. So keep working through the prompts. We've still got another week of this beautiful journey, and then obviously you can revisit all of this material on an ongoing basis. So I'll talk to you all again soon. Have a beautiful day, and thank you for being here. Lots of love, everyone. Bye.